Do you need help with your journey following Jesus? Has your Bible reading brought up some interesting questions?
I need a prayer request.
I've heard pastors talk about you can't get to heaven just with good deeds.
I was just wondering what you guys think. Is there a correlation between the seventh trumpet and Revelations as the last trumpet, or is he talking about some other trumpet?
Finally, a place to get answers. We're ready to take your prayer request and answer your Bible questions. Call in at 303-690-3000. Let's join Calvary Live right now.
All right. Well, good afternoon. Happy Friday. This is Josh Sorensen here with you on Calvary Live. I'm one of the assistant pastors and your Friday host. So great to be with you. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Calvary Live, of course, we are here to help answer any Bible questions you may have. So we'd love to hear from you if there's something that's been pressing on your heart. Perhaps you've been listening to Grace FM or to Christian radio or something that your pastor shared at the weekend services, and you're thinking, man, I really want to kind of figure some more things out about that particular passage or that text, or maybe you have a question on Christian living. We are here to do our best to help encourage you and strengthen you and point you to the Bible. Again, there's so many different areas that we could talk about when it comes to the Christian life and the Christian faith. So if there's anything that's on your heart, we would love to hear from you. 303-690-3000, 303-690-3000. One of the great things about Calvary Live and the show here is that, of course, there's a million places you could go. You could Google for answers. You could go to YouTube for answers. But because we're a local church, we really just have a heart to pastorally answer these questions that may be pressing on your heart. And so we believe that God speaks through His Word. That's the primary way that He speaks to us. And His Word is it's perfect. It's without any error. It is powerful. And so to be able to talk about His Word is such a joy and such a blessing. And our hope is not just that we are answering questions intellectually, although that's important, of course, to kind of wrap our minds around God's Word as best as we can. But we're hoping that as we have this time to process through some of these things with you, that God is doing a work in our hearts, transforming us. Because it's not enough just to know God's Word, in terms of mentally and the answers. And our heart is not to just be the Bible answer man, but really our heart is to see God do a work in your life and in your heart through His Word. So any questions that you have, again, anything that has been gnawing at you, perhaps maybe even, I think a lot of times in your personal quiet times as you're reading the Bible and you're thinking, man, I just read through something and I don't quite understand what that means. There's a couple of ways you could get the answer to that. I think a good study Bible is a great way to find the answer because study Bibles right there have commentary that you can go to. I also, and Pastor Ed also encourages, we both love this resource called Haley's Bible Handbook. I was actually recommended to a group of pastors many, many years ago by Pastor Chuck Smith from Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And so it's been used in the Calvary movement, at least, and beyond that, of course, for many, many years. And it's just another great resource, a small little book, commentary on the texts that you're reading. So sometimes having something like that is helpful. But a great place to get questions to, or answers, I should say, to your questions would be in your local churches. So I'm assuming and hoping that most of you that are listening attend a local church on a regular basis and are connected and know your pastors. And I hope and pray that your pastors are readily available to you so that you can go to them and ask questions. And they would be happy, I know, more than happy to be able to answer those questions. But of course, we here at Calvary Live want to provide this space as well to just be another resource in your life. So 303-690-3000 is the number, 303-690-3000. Also, if you have any prayer requests, one of the great things about this show is being able to pray for you. And it's been a joy to pray for dozens of people already since I've had the privilege of being able to jump on the show here. If there's something on your heart right now, something you're struggling with, if it's illness, perhaps it's mental illness, perhaps it's work-related or personal, relational, anything that we can pray for you, it's our privilege to be able to pray. And again, you don't have to call a radio show necessarily to get prayer. We'd be happy to do that here at Calvary Church Aurora for you anytime of the day on the telephone. But one of the great things about radio is that not only do you and I pray together, but we've got a host of people listening in, thousands upon thousands of people that are tuning in at this moment that will be hearing the prayer and will be agreeing around the prayer for you. So again, if there's something pressing on your heart that you would just love for the body of Christ to pray for you around the nation today, on this Friday, May 19th, that would be our joy to be able to pray for you as well. So 303-690-3000. Again, we've also got a text line. If you'd prefer to text us, you can do that. And that text line is available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so that's something that if you want to put that in your phone and save that number, you can text at any point of the day or middle of the night, 24/7 again, 720-336-0897 is the prayer text line there. And again, as I mentioned every week, we do pray for every single prayer request that comes in. So if you text that, again, we may not necessarily get to those prayer requests here on the Calvary Live radio show, but we absolutely will get to them if you text them in. So again, 720-336-0897 is the text line. But we would love to hear from you. And we got open lines here on this Friday. So 303-690-3000 is the number, 303-690-3000. Again, we want to welcome everybody listening here on Grace FM. In Colorado, we've got two stations here outside of Denver, 89.7, Colorado Springs, 101.7 FM. I want to shout out everybody listening from Calvary Church. I know there's a number of you that tune into this, and some of you listen to this very consistently and faithfully every day. So those of you that are part of my home church, just want to say hello to you. Thanks for tuning in. Hope to see you at the weekend gatherings. I also want to shout out those of you listening on Hope FM. There's five stations there, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, and I've heard actually from a number of friends and different people from the Philadelphia area that have reached out to me that tune into the show as well, which is really crazy because that's where I spent the majority of my life and my ministry, was raised in ministry there, attended Calvary Chapel, Philadelphia. My pastor there, Pastor Joe Foch, it was incredible just to be able to be a part of what God was doing there. And so it's great to be here now in Colorado and a part of what God is doing here, but to hear from people in Philadelphia that are saying, hey, I'm listening to Calvary Live. Hey, I heard you. What a joy. So again, if you're listening on Hope FM, welcome. Truth FM, Tennessee, North Carolina. So great to have you guys tuning in. Of course, Higher Rock Radio, Living Water Radio is the new station that we have in Corpus Christi, Texas. So both of you, Higher Rock Radio and Living Water Radio, both of those stations, we want to, again, welcome you. And then, of course, we've got 78 stations all over the nation that are tuning in right now on the Radio by Grace Network. So again, thank you for tuning in. And I want to encourage you, whether it's Radio by Grace, Living Water Radio, Higher Rock Radio, Truth FM, Hope FM, or our own Grace FM. I want to encourage you guys to be doing whatever you can to support these radio stations, because radio is a ministry that is alive and well and ministers well beyond what we might even think of, but certainly well beyond the walls of the church. So whether it's prayer, or whether you could financially contribute to those radio stations, but just continue to be thinking about ways that you can connect with these local radio ministries, because it's powerful. And again, so thankful that Calvary Live gets to be a part of that. Again, live on 26 states and 88 nations as we speak. So such a privilege. 303-690-3000 is the number, 303-690-3000. If you have a Bible question or have anything that you'd like to lift up today, we would be happy to answer those questions, pray for you if there's something on your heart that's burdening you. I would like to make a quick announcement. If you are in the Denver area and you are part of Calvary Church Aurora, or if you're just in the local area and would like to attend, we have a men's retreat coming up. And I'm excited for this because I get to the privilege of being able to help oversee the men's ministry with another brother here. And so we are excited. There's a lot going into this retreat that we have for the men, and prayer, And if you're listening and there's no way you're going to be able to attend, well, of course, we would ask your prayers for the men's retreat coming up on June 2nd through 4th. But if you would like to attend, and again, you don't have to be a part of the church here at Calvary Church, but if you're in the local area, it's coming up on the weekend of June 2nd through 4th. So that's 2 weeks. Our theme is a new thing coming from Isaiah 43. And we're excited to just talk about God wanting and desiring to do a new thing in the lives of his people, particularly the men in this generation at this time, living in 2023. We got a couple great messages prepared. So really excited. The retreat's going to be in Allen Spark, Colorado, which is right outside of Estes Park. So if you're here in the Denver Aurora area, it would be about an hour and a half away from us at a place called Highlands Campground and Retreat Center. So again, would love to invite any of the men out, or wives, if you are listening, what a great opportunity to encourage your guys to come out with a group of Christian men that are going to fellowship together, that are going to eat together, that are going to pray with one another, that are going to sit under the teaching of God's word with one another. They're going to discuss what God is doing in their lives. It's going to be just a great, and I believe, and I'm praying towards, powerful weekend. So again, our men's retreat, Calvary Church Men's Retreat, June 2nd through 4th. You can go on to calvaryco.church, calvaryco.church, and find all the information there, including registration and any other questions that you have on that. Of course, we would welcome you to be a part of that. So the number here at Calvary Live, again, 303-690-3000, 303-690-3000. There was a question that came in, and it looks like he hung up, but from a brother, I believe, or maybe a sister named Sydney. I guess that could be either a brother. Oh, it's a brother. Okay, it's a brother. I'm getting the message right now. So Sydney had a question about Genesis chapter 6. And if you're familiar with Genesis chapter 6, it's a passage there that talks about giants. And of course, we hear about giants outside of Genesis 6, because there were giants certainly all throughout the book of Genesis and Exodus. And so the question that Sidney had as he's reaching out and asking was, were these giants a creation of God? And who exactly were these giants? In Genesis 6, the first four verses actually refers to them as the sons of God, and then speaks, of course, there of the daughters of men. Now, I will say that there's a couple of different views. I'll share, of course, what our position is here as a church. But the three primary views that these giants were potentially, and these particular group of giants in Genesis 6 are also referred to as the Nephilim, or the sons of God. You'll read that they are also called. And we believe that it's certain fallen angels that had children with the daughters of men, and then they grew into a race of giants. So it's a very, very interesting passage. We could say it's an even bizarre passage because there's not much. You can also read a little bit about these particular Nephilim giant sons of men in the book of Jude. He addresses them as well. But some people, again, believe that these giants are the fallen angels. That's our position as a church. Some would say perhaps they're just powerful rulers, and giant is just a picture of a powerful ruler. Or some would say that they were the godly descendants of Seth intermarrying with the wicked descendants of Cain. So we, again, as noted, we believe that these are fallen angels that in fact had physical sexual relationships with physical women, and they produced this offspring called the sons of men or the Nephilim. And it's a much bigger study. Pastor Ed has talked about this. You can actually go listen to Pastor Ed's study through Genesis 6, which he taught not long ago, several months ago. You can find that at calvaryco.church or on the Calvary Church app. And he does a great job discussing this as well. This isn't one of those issues, again, that's like a make it or break it when it comes to our Christian faith. This is, again, there are a couple of different positions, but as you begin to study these angels and as you study who they are and as you study angelology is the theological word, but it's really interesting to do a study of angels. You see that there was in some way these fallen angels somehow procreated with human females, and I believe in an effort to distort the plan of God to bring salvation to the world through the Messiah. And so, of course, you read all throughout the Old Testament how it seems that the enemy is constantly going after the godly line in the nation of Israel. And of course, the enemy knew that from that godly line, which of course comes through Seth and starts with Adam, comes through Seth, of course, David, right, and works your way all the way down through the genealogy, there was a constant attempt to try to break that line or distort that line. And so that's, I believe, what's happening in Genesis chapter 6. Again, much more of a study worth having on the sons of God or the Nephilim as well. But to answer your question, Sydney, that is, again, what we believe is happening there. It's not necessarily that these giants were a creation of God, but were part of just the fallen sin that was taking place. And these giants that were on the earth were also pre-flood. So as God wiped out the earth with Noah's ark, we believe that some of that was in part in terms of what was happening here with these sons of God spoken of here in Genesis chapter 6. So, Sydney, hope that helps. Again, if you have questions on this or anything else related to this or any other Bible questions, we'd love to hear from you. 303-690-3000 is the phone number for Calvary Live, 303-690-3000. Or, again, you can text us at 720-336-0897. And again, as mentioned earlier in the show, we'd love to be able to pray for you. And I never want to overemphasize, just the not only the power of prayer in our lives, but the fact that as we pray together on this show, whether it's with Pastor Jeff Figgs on Monday and Tuesday, Pastor Ed Taylor on Wednesday and Thursday, myself, that we have an audience of brothers and sisters listening in that are agreeing around our prayer, that are lifting up whatever it is that's on your heart. So if you have a prayer request, call in. We'd love to hear from you. 303-690-3000, 303-690-3000. We have a call here from Rhonda calling from Texas. Good afternoon, Rhonda. How are you doing today?
Hi, how are you?
Doing wonderful. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling Calvary Live.
So the question is John 14, 13 and 14. I've heard this discussed a million times in different Sunday school classes and argued. And so I just wondered what your take is on those two verses. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Yeah, great, great question. I think that's one of those passages that can get confusing because it's used in some ways, it's used to manipulate people into saying, mm-hmm. if you ask God for it, God will give it to you. And that begins in part part of the theology that kind of moves itself into the prosperity gospel that will say, if you have enough faith and you believe enough in your heart, God will give you whatever it is that you ask. And yet what I think is very interesting about what he says there in John chapter 12 and again 13, let me just read that, Jesus speaking, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. Greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father." So Jesus is beginning to speak there of the ministry of believers and then, of course, of the empowering of the Holy Spirit. But then he goes on to say there, "And whatever you ask in my name," that's key, "in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And then he reiterates it, "If you ask anything," again, if you're a Bible student, you can underline in your Bible there, "in my name," because that's key. He says, "I will do it." So there is a promise there from the Lord, which should be an encouragement for us. And again, I believe that as Jesus is speaking there, that when he says, "in my name," that's not a magic incantation of prayer, right? It speaks of an endorsement, almost like a bank check, but it also in the sense that you can cash it in. God says, "If you pray my name, I will do it." So there, in the sense,
would that be equivalent to In my will?
Yeah, in my will, exactly. Because Jesus does go on to say, pray in my will, or according to my will I give it to you, mm-hmm. Jesus says. Okay. But there's also a limitation that's there as well. So it's not just a blank check, although and wonderfully, if we're praying according to God's will, the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. But there's a limitation because the requests that we pray have to be in accordance with the character of the name that we're praying in. We're coming to God in Jesus's name and not in our name. And I think a lot of times when we hear maybe particular people saying, see, God says, whatever you pray, he'll give it to you. Well, a lot of times that we're praying in our name because it's what we want. I would love $1 million. I would love a brand new car. I would love a mansion, right? There's so many things that we could pray for. But as we study scripture, not just this particular text, but prayer all throughout the rest of scripture, because those other verses also help inform what we're reading here. The test of any prayer is, can I make this prayer in the name of Jesus? So for example, none of us can pray in the name of Jesus for personal revenge or for personal ambition or for some unworthy or unchristian object in the name of Jesus. To ask in his name or to do anything in his name speaks to a unity that we have with Jesus, and a unity and an aim and a motive that are connected to the heart of Jesus. And then, of course, it goes on to say that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And again, Jesus is promising that he's going to bring glory to both the Father and the Son as we pray with a passion for the glory of Jesus, a passion for God the Father, truly in the name of Jesus. So we see there the beauty of that kind of a prayer. God will answer that kind of a prayer. So some of it is surrendering our will and saying, God, not my will be done, but thy will be done. And I'm coming with that heart and that act of surrender to the Lord. But also we can't limit the fact that there is an element of faith that as we pray, we actually believe that God hears us. And we actually believe that God moves his hand in our lives through the world. And I don't think it's necessarily a selfish thing to pray for personal needs, to pray for financial needs, if we have bills piling up on the table, to pray for relationships. I've heard some people say, God is so busy, he doesn't care about if I can pay my water bill or not, but he does. And wonderfully, God does answer those prayers because, again, to the glory of Jesus, as Jesus is speaking there, what a wonderful thing. If you have a bill and you don't know how you're going to pay and you pray for it, and then God supernaturally or in some way provides, and you give glory to Jesus through that. And of course, we pray for healing for people. And sometimes God heals because it's in accordance to his will or in his name. Sometimes he doesn't heal. We know ultimately there will be a healing that will come. But when he does heal, he gets great glory. Or I would say when he doesn't heal, but the particular person that's facing the illness is able to say, but yet God be glorified no matter what he does in my life, that brings great glory to Jesus. So I just think the heart behind it is we want to honor Jesus and honor the glory of God as we pray and ask for things. But Jesus does say, as a father gives gifts to his children, so does our perfect heavenly Father enjoy giving good gifts to those who ask. And Jesus says, ask, it will be given, seek, and you will find, knock, and the door will be opened to you. And so there is an element that we come to him as children, just like my children ask me for candy when we're at the candy aisle in the grocery store, or as now that they're getting a little bit older, they're asking for money for the gas or whatever it might be, right? But the point is, if we come with that kind of a heart, with that kind of a faith that God provides, I believe that's another way that we get to glorify Jesus in our prayers.
Oh, well, thank you. That gives a lot of help in ways to explain it, especially to youth and baby Christians. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. I think it's one that a lot of people ask, and I'm thankful that you asked it, because I think there's probably many others that are listening that tuned in with that same question. So appreciate you calling, and thanks for listening to Calvary Live.
Okay.
All right. Bye. God bless you. Have a great day. All right, we have another question coming in here from Jenkintown, Pennsylvania, which is awesome because I used to live right outside of Jenkintown, so I'm very familiar with Jenkintown. This is Betty Jane. How are you doing, Betty Jane?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Thank you.
Good.
How can we help you today?
I'm calling to ask for prayer.
Yes.
I'm working on a goal that I do believe God really wants me to follow up on, and So I need prayer for that, but also I'm very grateful to God that I got such a nice compliment from a manager at a job that I have as well. Mm. So that's really cool.
Absolutely. So at this season of your life, kind of where do you feel, again, you're working, that God has given you this good news. What do you feel that God is kind of speaking to you in this season of kind of waiting for him and then watching him provide for you?
Well, so I have a ministry to work with patients and families that are, the patient is, at the very end of their life. And so whether they're saved or not, I have a ministry and I'm also trying to, honestly earn a living doing that.
Okay.
And I'm a registered nurse. And so, I need God to continue to direct my steps.
Yes, absolutely. And so your heart would be to move more towards this ministry where you could use some of your skills and abilities.
Yes. Yeah. I'm blessed to know a lot now, and so as a registered nurse, and so I'm just trying to put all the details together professionally and spiritually on a website, and step by step. It just takes time and patience, and so that's what I'm trying to organize.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's so wonderful for you, Betty Jane, for others that are listening, is that God, again, as we just mentioned before, we pray. He says, ask in my name and I will do it. And I think that you're a great example. I think it's a perfect call to come after that, just to say, here you are. You have a heart to want to minister. God has given you skills and abilities as a registered nurse. You're praying for opportunity to step into ministry. Sounds like the Lord is beginning to open that door for ministry. So just I think that's a perfect illustration of how God answers prayer and how God moves through our prayers in our lives.
Yeah, he blessed me with a 4-day assignment that provided me with a lot of blessings. That, I have to use that word in two sentences, in the same sentence twice, I meant. He's a big God. I mean, he can take care of everybody.
Amen. Amen. He is such a good God. And I think that word blessing is a wonderful word to use twice in a sentence for sure, because God is a blessing God. So yes, let me pray for you, Betty Jane. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for our sister, Betty Jane. Thank you, God, that you are moving in her life, that you have given her a burden to want to serve you, to serve people. And of course, she's got some good news regarding this particular ministry that she wants to be a part of. Of course, she's looking, Lord, just for continued confirmation regarding this ministry and her own work. And I know she would love to see, Lord, that her ministry and her vocation could be the same, Lord. And so sometimes you wonderfully do that. And so we just pray, God, that as she asks, that you would continue to open up the doors for her as you so wonderfully do, that you'd lead her, that you'd guide her, that you would speak to her regarding these things, Lord, that you'd help her to be patient in terms of the timing. Sometimes we know that the doors open not in the time that we would like them to open, but in your perfect timing. Sometimes that also means that you shut doors in a way to get us to the open doors. So, Lord, so we know that you love her. Again, you are a blessing God. You are a good God, as she said. And so we trust you. Continue to minister to her. And we pray these things in the good name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we'll be right back with you here on Calvary Live.
Welcome back to Calvary Live. Give us a call at 303-690-3000 or text us at 720-336-0897. Let's join Calvary Live right now.
All right, welcome back to the second half of Calvary Live. It's amazing how fast this show goes. I appreciate those of you that have been calling and texting and have questions and prayer requests. It's such a joy just to be able to spend this hour with you on Fridays. Again, my name is Josh Sorensen, one of the assistant pastors here at Calvary Church. And it really is. It's an honor to be able to be a part of this ministry at Grace FM and the Calvary Live radio show. And so, again, if you have questions, Bible questions, or prayer requests, it would be our joy to be able to pray for you. 303-690-3000 is the number. And we have a half hour left of the show, so this would be the time to get those calls in. 303-690-3000. Again, we do have some texts coming in as well, so we'll get to a couple of those. The text line is available for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 720-336-0897. 720-336-0897. Calvary Live, again, available for your prayer requests, for Bible questions, anything that's on your heart today. We just want to be able to minister to you, encourage you in the grace of God, help point you as much as we can back to the Bible to find your answers to life, to godliness, to what it means to walk with Jesus, to trust Jesus, to pray, as we just talked about in the first half of the show. So again, such a joy. And I just want to, again, thank you for tuning in to Calvary Live. We're, again, available Monday through Friday from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock Mountain Standard Time for this hour. So you can tune in 5 days a week. Call us at any point in time. We do know that the Radio by Grace Network, and I believe also Hope FM, does air this show on a one-week delay, which means if you are listening to me now, this will be a week later. So if you call in today, you can ask your question and be live here in Colorado and the other radio stations, but then you can hear yourself a week later, which is pretty cool, I think. So again, 303-690-3000 is the number. Now, we did have a call come in, but I'm not sure if we got disconnected, but I'm going to go ahead and answer the question from Eileen calling from Colorado Springs. So Eileen, if you tuned in and got disconnected, we apologize, but you had a follow-up question, it sounds like, to the question from Genesis chapter 6. And it sounds like your question is, are we all descendants of Noah since the flood happened? Which is a great question. So are we Hebrew and are we Jewish? And I love that question because I think that it speaks to, again, we're thinking through the fact that the Bible does say we all came from Adam. So we all know that. But then it can kind of start to get confusing as you're following through. Well, okay, so what is all of this? You know, we have genealogies in the Bible, and why are those important? And so, wonderfully, the genealogies are there because they ultimately are the lineage that goes to Jesus. And so, if you look in Matthew's account or Luke's account, you'll see two different genealogies, because one is taking you essentially through Mary's genealogy, and then one is taking you through Joseph's genealogy, even though Joseph was not the biological father of Jesus, but it goes to show that Jesus did have, in fact, his Jewish roots available through Joseph. But it goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. And so we do see that Noah had three sons. And of course, through those three sons, the Messiah, it tells us later in Genesis, will come from then the tribe of Judah. And then eventually through the tribe of Judah comes King David. And we read about that. So the Messiah comes again through the tribe of Judah, from the line of King David. And you can follow that all the way through the genealogies and see that eventually that's how Jesus is brought onto the scene. So Jesus was a descendant of King David. Therefore, he's the legitimate promised Messiah, which is so wonderful to see. Again, in Matthew's account, the lineage of Jesus goes back to King David through his son Solomon. And Luke's account, it goes back to King David through his son Nathan. So Matthew has 27 generations from David to Joseph. Luke has 42. The two accounts don't contradict each other. In fact, the wonderful thing is they're different genealogies that show where we are, where Jesus gets the right to be the Messiah, essentially. And so With that being said, to your question, does that mean then that we are Jewish? Well, of course, we come from a Jewish heritage, but no, we ourselves are not Jewish, because the Bible says that because the Jewish people that were God's chosen people, and he wanted to have a people that would show the goodness and the glory of God to the rest of the nations, and an effort for the rest of the nations to come to God. But the Jewish people rejected Jesus as the Messiah, which then opened the door for those of us that are not Jewish, we would be called Gentiles, to be able to come into the faith, to be able to trust Jesus as our Messiah, to be able to have a relationship with him. And now we are a special people, and we are called the church. So we're different from Israel. We're different from the Jewish people. We are the church, the called out ones, those of us that have put our faith and trust in Jesus. Gentiles, Jews alike, we are all part now of the church. But that doesn't mean that we are somehow a spiritual Israel, because there are still literal promises that are yet to be fulfilled for the Jewish people. There are land promises, and of course, back in 1948, we see that Israel became a nation again, so we've seen promises fulfilled in that way. There are spiritual blessings and promises. There's a lot that's still yet to be fulfilled for the nation of Israel. God's not done with the Jewish people. He still has promises to be fulfilled for them. You can read about some of that in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. He speaks to that there. So Israel and the church are two different entities, but we are welcomed into the family of God wonderfully, because God extended the gospel beyond just the Jewish people to the nations as well. And that's still happening to this day. Missionaries are still continuing to get the gospel to the ends of the world so that the nations can come to know Jesus as their personal savior. So hope that helped to answer your question a little bit, Eileen, on that. Great, great question. Good to think about where we ourselves fit into the narrative of Scripture, the greater story of Scripture, the genealogy of Jesus. And so I appreciate the question and appreciate you calling. So sorry that we actually disconnected with you, but maybe we'll get you again at some point. We are going to now go to Michael, who's calling from Englewood, Colorado. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Pastor Josh.
Yes.
Nice to talk to you.
Hey, great to talk to you too, Michael.
I'm doing good. I have a question for you. It's maybe more or less a seminary question. I don't know. But so basically, I've been studying the book of Daniel, and Daniel 8:14 mentions 2,300 evenings and days. And I know in that particular chapter, it has something to do with the four horns of Alexander, one of them bringing forth a little horn. And I believe that was Seleucus. When he died, his son Antiochus had taken over. If that was in 281 BC, and the 2,300 days is literally years, that just happens to end in 2019. Is there any legitimacy to that as being a literal, like, one year is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day, or something like that?
Yeah, great question. I appreciate that question. And I really appreciate, brother, that you're leading into the book of Daniel and studying it. I will say it is a bit of a technical question that requires time and study. So I encourage you to continue your study and asking these questions. And I would encourage you too. Pastor Ed here again at the Calvary Church app went through the book of Daniel a couple years ago and does a great job with this, particularly the timing of it. So very quickly, I will say I don't see anything there that points to 2019 or somehow that there are things happening in our day or the pandemic or any of that. I don't see that in Scripture. Daniel and Revelation should be studied together, so I will add that, because the prophecies in each of those books, they dovetail with each other. And both books mention a certain number of days. Daniel mentions 1,290 days. Revelation mentions that, but then also mentions 1,335 days. So you get to do some of the study of that. So according to Daniel, chapter 9, verse 27, which is actually a key verse in the book of Daniel, it's speaking there of the tribulation period that is still yet to come, the seven-year tribulation period. It begins there with the signing of a peace treaty that has not yet happened between the Antichrist and Israel. And then it speaks there of seven sevens. And that again, is where the study is important because of the Hebrew word there. But it's intended to be for 1 7. And if as you study that, you realize that is a set of 7 years. And then, of course, the seven is divided into halves. And I know I've lost most of the people that are listening now. But all of that to say, there's some specific things that Daniel mentions when it comes to these prophecies that don't necessarily take us to today. They take us to the seven-year tribulation. But you're absolutely right in the sense that some of what Daniel mentions, some of what he references, takes us up to the days of Jesus. And I believe there's a couple of different studies and a couple of different ideas that one of the things that Daniel references is the coming of the Messiah when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. Very interesting study, a powerful study. But the timeline that we have, of course, is that sometime after the rapture of the church, the Antichrist is going to enter a treaty with Israel. That begins the seven-year tribulation. And so a lot of what Daniel is getting to speaks of that. And there was some fulfillment to some of what Daniel was talking about, what we would call a near fulfillment, some things that had happened already. But then there is still yet a far fulfillment. There's still something that is yet to come in terms of some of the seeing some of these prophecies fulfilled. So I hope that answers your question. I don't see anything in there that says 2019, that we're coming up to 2019 or anything in our current day. But I do see that there's one prophecy that Daniel speaks of that takes us up to the time of Jesus. And then there's another prophecy that sees us go beyond the time of Jesus into the 7-year tribulation. And there's this gap between the time that Jesus came at his first coming, and then, of course, he rides into Jerusalem, says he's the Messiah, hopes that Israel would receive him. Of course, Israel rejects him. Jesus even weeps because they reject him. And then there was a pause in the prophetic timeline. And we are living in the middle of that pause in this age called the church, this age of grace. But that timeline will be picked up again when this Antichrist signs this treaty, as Daniel talks about in Daniel 9:27, which will pick up that timeline again. So that is, you mentioned the seminary question. I would just say it's a good prophecy question. It's something that if you have a favorite Bible teacher that you listen to that works through the text verse by verse, chapter by chapter, you will get them explaining to you these specific things. There are a couple of ideas when it comes to dates and those kind of things and time. I do agree with you that the sevens that are mentioned are representative of something more than just seven. It's a word epteth, which is a Hebrew word. I won't get into that here, but you're on the right track asking these questions. And I really appreciate the fact that you're thinking through these things. A great commentary is written by a man named John Walvoord, Walvoord. And he does an amazing job, particularly with some of these questions that you're asking with some of the timing and the days. And it's just a commentary in the book of Daniel. You can find it online, but it's a great resource if you want to dig in a little bit more. But again, I encourage you, if you have a favorite expositional Bible teacher, go listen to them through the book of Daniel. Pastor Ed did a great job through the book of Daniel. So hope that helps. Michael, really appreciate your question. Appreciate you thinking through these things as well. Love to see people digging into God's word. Such an encouragement. We had Hannah from Colorado Springs, and it looks like we may have lost Hannah, but Hannah was just looking for prayer. So Hannah, if you're listening in, so sorry that we didn't get you on the air here, but we would be happy to pray for you. It sounds like Hannah herself is struggling with addiction, and she is back sliding into her addiction this week. So Hannah, I just want to say my heart goes out to you. I know that addiction can be hard. Looks like maybe we do have Hannah on the line here. Hannah, is that you? Okay, we'll try this here. Hannah, are you there?
Yes.
Wonderful. Yes, great. I'm so glad we got you. Yeah, I would love to be able to pray for you, but share a little bit about what's going on and how we can be praying for you.
I've been struggling on and off the past couple of years, I guess. I made it almost a year sober, And this past week started backsliding, so I don't really know what started it or why. It just kind of out of nowhere. And I'm just, I don't know. I don't even know what to say about it. I'm just pretty taken aback by it, and I don't really know where to go from here.
Yeah. So, again, as I was saying before, my heart goes out to you. I have many loved ones and many people, of course, in our churches and our fellowships that themselves struggle with addiction. So you're not alone in this. And I know it gets difficult when you find victory over your addiction for a period of time, but then you fall back into it again. I will say this, don't ever believe the lie that you're not going to find victory. And that's one of the things I think that comes with addiction is because of the fact that we fall back into the addiction, whether it's alcohol or drugs. For some, it's pornography. For some, it's gambling. Whatever it may be that you're finding yourself addicted to, you'll find victory. But then what happens is if you fall back again into that addiction, there's this overwhelming sense of grief or shame that can come, and all of a sudden the lie is that you will never get over your addiction. I want to say two things about that. Number one, shame and guilt don't come from the heart of Jesus. They never have and they never will. Shame and guilt come from the enemy. And it's the enemy that would like to say to you, Hannah, you will never get over this addiction, that you will never find victory. God's word, on the other hand, says quite the opposite. God's word tells us, yes, life is filled with various temptations, but be encouraged because there is strength to overcome the addictions and the cravings that come into your lives. Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 11, and I would say this is a word for you, Hannah, as you're struggling. Jesus would say to you today, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. And perhaps right now, Hannah, you're feeling weary, it sounds like, and burdened with this addiction. Jesus says this, come. If you just fell back into sin again, come. If you fall into sin again tomorrow, come. And Jesus says, when you come to me, I will give you rest. And then he says something wonderful. He says, you know, addiction is a burden that many carry. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So we get this wonderful opportunity to learn from Jesus. And he says, I'm gentle. So again, God is not a God of shame and guilt. God is a God who is gentle, Jesus says, humble in heart. And when you come and learn from Jesus, Jesus tells us you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Addiction is heavy, addiction is hard, but what Jesus offers is easy and his burden is light. And there's another promise I just want to encourage you with, Hannah. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And you may have heard these verses before, but sometimes God can use these verses in fresh, powerful ways of even revealing some of the deeper truth in these scriptures to our hearts in the season that we need them. And what God says is, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. So Hannah, whatever it is that you're struggling with in addiction, addiction is common with everybody. And so you're not any worse than any of us. Your addiction may look different than another person's addiction, but your temptation is common to mankind. But here's what's wonderful. Paul continues in 1 Corinthians 10:13 to say, God is faithful. He doesn't say, Hannah, you have to be faithful. You have to stop. You have to. No, he says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out of it so that you can endure it. And then he does give a call to us there. He says, therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. So there is this part where Jesus is saying, come to me and you will find rest. The temptation that you're experiencing is common to everybody, but it also can be a form of idolatry. There's something in the addiction that we're looking for that Jesus wants to provide in himself that we're not finding in the moment in Jesus because we're going elsewhere for it. And I would just say, Hannah, the heart that Jesus would have to you in this moment is come back to him. There again, the power of sin has already been broken in your life. So the addiction, there's physiological addiction. Of course, we're addicted to it physically, and then there's mental addiction, emotional addiction in some cases, in some areas. But Jesus can take all of those upon himself. And then another thing I would just encourage you is, I don't know if you have a church there in Colorado Springs, but there are many great Christian addiction ministries, people that are finding help and hope in Jesus with other believers that are struggling with addiction. We have a ministry here in Aurora, Colorado, part of Calvary Church called Most Excellent Way. And that meets here on Tuesday evenings and Friday evenings. But I know that many churches have their Celebrate Recovery. There's a number of different ministries out there that would be a great place for you to find some people to pray for you and community. Because I think a big part of our journey out of addiction is to be able to walk that journey with others that have been there and can pray with us and help point us back to Jesus. And yet I just want to say at the end of it, though, it's just you and it's just Jesus. And he saw when you fell and backslid, just as he saw when I fell and backslid. But that didn't change who you are in Christ. He says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The Bible says it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us back to repentance. And repentance, again, is just this beautiful word that means we turn from and we turn to. So we're turning from our addiction and our temptation, and we're turning back to Jesus. And he's the one that can then give us the power over the chains and the weight that addiction holds on us. You've already been set free, and now it's just a matter of learning and how to walk in that. And sometimes that process means when we do fall, we don't sit there in guilt and shame and feel like I'm never going to get over this, but we wonderfully get to run back to Jesus because his arms are open for you.
Right. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's just good to be reminded. And I guess one thing that I do want to say for anybody else struggling is that the one thing that has really been a problem for me is thinking that I'm fixed. Like, oh, I'm fixed. I'm better. I can just this once. I'll be fine. It'll be fine. And then you're right back in it. And so you're not fine. And you're not, quote, better. You know, you just, and I need to remember that too. Once you are, you know, walking the straight and narrow and on the better path, you need to stay there and just remember how low you were when you weren't walking with Jesus. So
yeah, so good. Yeah. And you know, the reality is we all do have a sickness called sin, right? So in that sense, in that sense, we're sick. That's the reason we have addiction and brokenness. But Jesus is so good. And he just wants, Hannah, for you to draw close to him. And I just believe that his word to you, Matthew 11, is come to me. Because I think when we're in shame and guilt, sometimes he's the last place that we come because we think, man, I've blown it so many times. I've messed up over and over again. He's probably sick of me. He's probably frustrated with me. He's probably angry with me. But none of that could be true. No, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But we're not going to be able to find any strength to say no. We can change our behavior, but behavior modification only goes so far. But the Bible says all the issues of our life flow from our hearts, and that includes addiction. There's something in our hearts that the issue of addiction is flowing out of that, and the only person that can change your heart is Jesus. You can't change your own heart, you know, and we can change our behavior, but we can't change the root of what's going on, our hearts. And Jesus is able to do that. He can heal. He can take our heart of stone and make it soft. Wonderfully, he says that he's You know, he's put his word in our hearts. He's given us a new heart. He's given us, he's made us a new creation. So we've got all the resources available. It's just a matter of walking. And that's why Paul says we're growing in grace, because we will mess up. We will stumble. We will fall. But it's not God's heart for us to stay there. It's that we would stand back up, go back to Jesus, ask for a fresh empowering of his Holy Spirit to do the things that we could never do. And he will give you, he promises he will give you victory and strength. And we need to seek him daily for that. And we need to be in community with others that are helping us. And that's a big part of the journey that we're on. But I just don't want you to feel that it's hopeless or that this is the end of the road for you or that somehow you're never going to get through this, because that's the opposite message of what the gospel of Jesus says to you.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, Hannah, let me just pray for you real quick before we go here. Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much for Hannah. I thank you, God, for her heart for you. Thank you that she's called. I know that she's broken. I know she's feeling just the weight right now of this. But Lord, we just pray that you would minister to her, Holy Spirit, that you would fill her afresh. She's your daughter, Lord, and she has this problem in her life, Lord, as we all do. We all, every single one of us hearing my voice, me speaking right now, we all have our own battles and our own sin. And there's still so much in me that's not yet Christ-like. And so we come with all of those things, our temptation, our sin, our burdens, our addictions, and we bring them back to the foot of the cross again. And we just ask, Lord Jesus, that you would meet Hannah right now, strengthen her, wash her over and over again with your grace, grace upon grace, that she would know your great love for her. Lord, that you would give her the strength and the ability even to repent, to just turn from her addiction back to you, but to know that she is precious in your sight, that the blood of Jesus has cleansed her and washed her from all of her sin. And Lord Jesus, that she would know the power and the victory over sin that is found in a relationship with Jesus, which I know she has, Lord. So thank you for Hannah. I pray you encourage her, and we just lift these things up in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we've got 2 minutes left. I do want to say there is a Most Excellent Way ministry here again at Calvary Church in Aurora that meets on Tuesdays and Fridays. I know Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs would be a great place, Hannah, for you to check out. Calvary Worship Center has a ministry there as well. We're going to try to squeeze in one more call here if we can. Andrew from Maryland, we've got a minute left, but I'd love to be able to hear how we can be praying for you. Andrew, do we have Andrew there?
Yes.
Yes. Hey, Andrew, I'm so sorry to say we only have about a minute left, but I'd love to hear from you how we can be praying.
Okay. You know, as a father, I'm seeking the Lord for just seeking the Lord for there's so much financial stress and just in need.
Yeah,
of God's healing power.
Yeah,
he can do it.
Absolutely,
the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread. Just trusting in God.
Amen.
To get us through this.
Yes. Yes, amen, Andrew. Well, look, those of you listening, pray for Andrew. Pray that God would continue to bless him as the head of the household. Pray for his financial issues, the health issues. Andrew, Jesus is with you. He knows you. He loves you. He will provide for you. He's good to you, Andrew. And he's good to all of us listening right now. Thank you guys for tuning into Calvary Live. Wish we had more time. This is the way it goes. God bless you. Happy Friday.
You've been listening to Calvary Live. Tune in next time for prayer and God's Word.